Chapter 23, Self-Introspection or His Unveiling, Which? A discerning Bible college professor advises. There is a very real need for discernment in this hour. Of course, there has always been that need, but especially now, God's children need to realize that searching their own soul can never accomplish what the Holy Spirit's searching can do. Those who would search by their own light will soon discover what an abortive and barren effort it is to attempt revival in this way. No place in God's Word, if we interpret rightly, do we find an exhortation to search ourselves. Instead, we are to cry, "Search me, O God." How different is the light which the Holy Spirit uses in unveiling the hidden areas of our life. This attitude is alarming. They have learned it from men who pose as spiritual counselors, but who are mere explorers of the soul. We all have, in our longing for revival and a more intimate fellowship with the Lord, tried some special times of searching our soul. We have read how God's choice saints, through the centuries, were always very sensitive to the slightest infraction of His will. This created such a longing in our own heart for a new measure of honesty and brokenness before Him, that we determined to use a fine-tooth comb on our inner life. Yet when this attempted inner searching was all over, we discovered, along with multitudes of others, how empty, barren, and unfruitful the effort was. We must understand how that which is self-induced will always end up as another works program, which God will not approve of or cooperate with. How natural it is for man to look within, to differentiate, to discriminate, to analyze his inner workings, and in so doing merely complicate his problem. This most common experience is really dangerous to spiritual growth, for inward knowledge will never be reached along the barren path of self-introspection or self-analysis. It was a confirmation to our heart to find this same admonition given by Watchman Nee in The Normal Christian Life. We are never told in the Word of God to examine our inward condition. In his footnote, he explains these two apparent exceptions. 1 Corinthians 11:28 and 31 calls upon us to discern ourselves as to whether we recognize the Lord's body or not, and this in a particular connection with the Lord's table. It is not concerned with self-knowledge as such. The strong command of Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:5 is to examine ourselves as to whether or not we be in the faith. It is a question of the existence or otherwise in us of a fundamental faith, of whether, in fact, we are Christians. This is in no way related to our daily walk in the Spirit or in self-knowledge. Self-examination leads only to uncertainty, vacillation, and despair. Of course, we have to have self-knowledge. We have to know what's going on within. We do not want to live in a fool's paradise, to have gone altogether wrong and yet not know we have gone wrong, to have a Spartan will and yet think we are pursuing the will of God. But such self-knowledge does not come by our turning within, by our analyzing our feelings and motives and everything that is going on inside, and then trying to pronounce whether we are walking in the flesh or in the Spirit. You remember in Psalm 139:23, the writer says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." You realize, do you not, what it means to say, "Search me"? It certainly does not mean I search myself. "Search me" means you search me. That is the way of illumination. It is for God to come in and search. It is not for me to search. Of course, that will never mean that I may go blindly on, careless of my true condition. That is not the point. The point is that however much my self-examination may reveal in me that needs putting right, such searching never really gets below the surface. My true knowledge of self comes not from my searching myself, nor anyone else searching for me, but from God searching me. In turning our attention to Psalm 36:9, Watchman Nee points out, "In thy light shall we see light." There are two lights here. There is thy light, and then, when we have come into that light, we shall see light. Now, these two lights are different. The first light is the light which belongs to God, but is shed upon us. The second is the knowledge imparted by that light. In thy light we shall see light. We shall know something. We shall be clear about something. We shall see. No turning within, no introspective self-examination will ever bring us to that clear place. No, it is when there is light coming from God that we see. Legal conviction and Holy Spirit conviction. Through the years, there have been certain occasions when a sudden spurt of conviction and confession would fall upon a group of young people or a congregation. One after another would rise and confess certain wrongs they had committed in their life, and like a spreading fire, it would seem that soon everyone was smitten. Quite often, the unveiling was so electrifying as to convince some folk it was truly a spiritual awakening. Revival was here. But what had come suddenly left just as suddenly. What was the reason? It was many years before I discovered what earlier men of God have written about, namely, that there is a very real difference between legal conviction and Holy Spirit conviction. One is sure to confuse these unless he recognizes that in legal conviction, the conscience is working to accuse or excuse according to the law. The purpose of conscience is to convict me of what I have done that is wrong. It deals with the branches and the fruit of the tree. By contrast, it is the Holy Spirit who uncovers the motives, the selfish purposes and pursuits of the heart, thereby revealing why I do what I do. As we have pictured in the diagram, the conscience's sphere of working is above the surface on outward issues, while the Holy Spirit goes deep into the hidden recesses to uncover the root issues. One can usually discern in a meeting whether it is a true spirit of or just a spurt of conviction and confession. Conviction will either be on the legal level of the conscience, or it will be in a deep area wrought by the Holy Spirit. Those who are confessing things they have done are merely seeking relief and release from a conscience. Those who have had a deep unveiling of themselves will surely cry out, "O wretched man that I am!" In their own light they have seen things, but in his light they shall see themselves. Thus we see the work of conscience and the work of the Holy Spirit. We can usually discern the difference. We observe that the deeper the Holy Spirit plows in any life, the slower will be the outburst of confession. Another sure evidence of Holy Spirit conviction is that it has such a deep lasting effect and continues to be real in lives. But where an electrifying surge of legal conviction has swept through a group, it is not uncommon to see those very individuals back at their old ways before another week has passed. The branches and fruit are pruned, but the root system remains the same. It is so with any kind of surface soul searching. One could not say it would never have any place, yet it has brought far more superficiality and emptiness into lives and churches than we shall ever recognize. This is often the enemy's way of sending a substitute to turn folk aside from the deep, lasting, penetrating work of the cross as the Holy Spirit unveils a life. God has sent the master psychiatrist. I am thankful I am not alone in my concern about the present trend among evangelicals to encourage believers to visit the cot of the psychiatrist. We would not deny that many need help in their deep mental, emotional, and personality problems. For those living in the world who will not submit to God, it may seem the only recourse. But this is not for those who have the Holy Spirit. If there is to be any exploring of the subconscious faculties, God has reserved this right for his master psychiatrist, the Holy Spirit. In this day, amazing discoveries have been made not only in exploring the outer universe, but also in the inner universe of the human soul. Even though man has gained this deeper knowledge of the mental workings, he is still haunted with the fact that self-knowledge is not enough. Recently, I counseled for several hours with a patient in a mental ward who gave me the most detailed explanation of his problem as he had learned it from his psychiatrist. But with a deep sigh, he could only admit, "While I understand my problem, I'm still helpless to control my mind." It has been my experience that whenever I have tried to fellowship believers who have had their inner soul workings unveiled, they have often been evasive, tending to disregard any working of the Spirit. They find it too easy to revert to some abnormality because of a childhood experience. Instead of honestly facing their own responsibility now, they have accepted the modern delusion that that environment, parents, everything else is really to blame.